Well, hey, welcome to Crosspoint. Welcome to kickoff of a brand new series, one that we are calling How to Talk to God. My name is Chris. If we have not had a chance to meet yet, and like we say all the time around here, if this is your first time, we hope it is not your last time. And like I said, we're diving into this series called How to Talk to God. And this is one that we're really excited about because this is an incredibly important topic. Because let's be honest, prayer, it doesn't always come naturally. It's not always easy or something that we would say that we thrive at. And this week, as I was thinking about this topic, thinking about prayer, and thinking about those moments that we feel a little anxious or a little tense around prayer, it reminded me of Ben Stiller in Meet the Parents. And so I wanted you to watch this clip of Ben Stiller in Meet the Parents as he is praying at the dinner table. Check this out.
Greg, would you like to say grace?
Greg's Jewish, Dad. You know that.
You're telling me the Jews don't pray, honey? Unless you have some objection.
No. No, I'd love to. Pam, come on. It's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace at many a dinner table. It's okay. Oh, dear God, thank you. You are such a good God
to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly laying at our table this day and each day by day, day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray: to love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Oh, man, that was lovely, right? That was lovely. Oh, the awkwardness, right? The tension. And honestly, that's what it feels like when we pray sometimes, isn't it? I mean, that's what it feels like. And to be honest, prayer doesn't have to look like that. Prayer doesn't have to feel so maybe uncomfortable, like maybe you feel sometimes. And it's not always easy. And honestly, I think a lot of us, we would say we don't thrive at it. But today, I want to help. Because I don't want you to feel like prayer is this daunting task as we oftentimes make it. Because if you're anything like me, you're probably thinking like this. You're probably thinking like, am I using the right words? I mean, Ben Stiller, he's like searching for the right words the entire time, right? A smorgasbord, aptly. I mean, no one uses those words. And yet, when we pray, we all kind of get like that, don't we? We start looking for these grandiose words. And that was another one right there, grandiose, right? We look for these words and it's like, that's not the point. We start asking these questions. Does he even really hear me? Or like, what if I don't know what to say? Or perhaps for you, maybe you were really good at like the childhood prayers. You're really good at the prayers that I pray with my 2.5-year-old daughter. But now that you're a teenager or you're in college or you're an adult and you've got kids of your own, you're like, I don't know how to pray with the complexities of my world. And so we're really excited about these next couple weeks because we really want to help you with this. And I think we can all agree that at one time or another, we've all been told that we should pray, right? But the problem is, how should we pray? And Jesus' disciples, they actually had the exact same question. So one day, Jesus' disciples, they're sitting there, they're watching him pray, they're hearing Jesus pray, and they start looking around at each other thinking that this question that I'm sure it wasn't the first time. Start thinking this question of like, that doesn't sound like the way that we pray. And so when Jesus finally finished praying, one of them, they approached him on behalf of the whole group, and they said, Lord, would you just teach us how to pray? After listening to him pray, they concluded that maybe they'd just been doing it wrong. I mean, they'd been praying ever since they were little boys. You know, they had been taught by their fathers and their mothers and their religious leaders praying these portions of the Psalms, the combinations of the Old Testament writings, and they'd been taught these things. And so they had actually been praying most of their entire lives, these recited, memorized prayers. And then Jesus came along. And they followed Jesus around and they saw him pray. They listened to him pray. And if he was doing it correctly, well, I mean, they had a lot to learn. And when they asked, Lord, we need you to teach us how to pray. We want to pray the way that you pray, Jesus. And so get ready, because Jesus, he's about to school really all of us on prayer. And we should actually be really happy about that. Because let's get really honest for a moment here. Very few of our prayers, if any, ever really get answered, do they? I mean, unless we count the prayers that they were going to happen whether you prayed or not. You know, like, guess what? Your keys actually were exactly where you left them, whether you prayed or not. They're right there. Or that parking spot that you were praying, like, Lord, I need a spot right now. I've got a meeting I've got to get to. Man, bam, just like that, there's the spot. But so did like 100 other people that didn't pray about getting a spot. They got a spot as well. Or your team that you were praying, like, oh, Lord, we need them to win this game. Well, they were projected to win that game. So no surprise, they won that game. And the game that they lost, well, they really weren't expected to win that game, right? But when it comes to those other kind of prayers, the kind of prayers that maybe we would consider like a miracle, like if God, you don't come through here, I mean, it's not going to happen. You know, these big prayers, occasionally you get a yes. But sometimes, let's just be honest, I mean, you get nothing. And perhaps it was a series of nothings that convinced you that there's nothing to prayer. That it's a waste of time. That prayer, it doesn't work. And as we're about to discover, I mean, you're right. I mean, that kind of prayer, the kinds of prayers that most of us pray, I mean, they don't work. At least not in the way that we want them to anyway. And so back to our story. Jesus, he's got these first century followers that grew up praying. And then they're watching Jesus and they realize that there was something very different about the prayers that Jesus prayed and the prayers that they had been praying for their entire lives. That there was something going on between him and between God that just wasn't happening when they were praying. It was just different. It was more intimate. It was less scripted. There was more passion and intensity. I mean, it was compelling to watch and to listen to Jesus pray. And it made them really discontent with their own prayers. So finally, they're like, Lord, would you just teach us? Teach us to pray. And to which Jesus, I'm sure, at this point, Jesus is probably thinking like, guys, I thought you'd never ask. I mean, I've been listening to the way you guys pray. Nothing's ever going to happen with that. I'm sure Jesus is like, thank you. Thank you for asking. And then in typical Jesus style, instead of just teaching them, instead of, you know, just handing them the playbook, Jesus actually does something where he's like, you know what? Let me teach you how not to pray. And if you're not a religious person, or maybe you don't really love Christians, or you don't really, not a big fan of Christianity, I mean, you're going to love this part. Because Jesus, what he does is he begins by pointing out the hypocrisy that is found in so many of those that are praying, the hypocrisy in these people that were praying the wrong way. In fact, this is how he begins his lesson on how to pray. Here's what Jesus says. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And this is the part about Jesus you've got to love, right? I mean, he had no tolerance for pretenders, for people who thought that they knew better than others. And the reason is because Jesus, he knew the hearts of men. He knew what was actually in there. In fact, he knew that they were no better than the people around them. In fact, they were actually a lot of times worse than those, because they were hiding things. They were hiding behind these elevated positions and their pretensions that they already had. And besides, he says, I mean, truly, truly, I tell you that those people, that they've received their reward in full, Jesus says. In other words, God, he's not going to reward them. He's not going to reward these prayers because, God, he's not moved by, he's not impressed by their perfectly worded, they're perfectly scripted, they're these incredibly gifted public prayers by really inauthentic people. These people, they wanted attention and they got it from the people that were watching, but they surely weren't getting it from God. And their reward, it was the attention. That was their reward. It was the attention of these people that watched them pray, that were impressed by these amazing prayers. And then Jesus continues and he says, but when you pray, and this honestly, this raises a question. This raises a question and multiple questions, really. Like, when do you pray? And maybe more so, why do you pray? I mean, why do you even pray? And then lastly, and this is maybe the most important one of all, where do you pray? These were questions that Jesus was actually interested in when he was talking to his disciples. And his disciples, they knew that his answers to those questions and their answers to those questions were going to be drastically different. And as it turns out, God hadn't answered their prayers either. I mean, they're sitting there, they're looking at these incredible prayers, and then they're looking at their own. They're like, well, honestly, ours aren't really getting answered either. Just like us, I mean, they prayed the same prayers over and over in so many cases, and generally, they got no response. They were living in the shadow of Rome just like their parents did and their grandparents before them. I mean, they knew their own tragic history, that before the Romans were over them, it was the Greeks, and before the Greeks, it was the Persians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians. I mean, if prayer actually moved God, if God actually cared for his nation, for their nation, for his people, I mean, clearly they weren't doing it right. Because nothing was changing. Nothing was happening. Maybe they were just doing it wrong. And now their religious leaders, they actually had a completely different reason for why their prayers weren't being answered. And they actually said that, well, no, God answers prayers. Guys, God answers prayers, absolutely. But God can't hear your prayers because you're not holy enough. You're not obedient enough. It was their fault that God didn't answer their prayers. And perhaps somebody's told you that before. Maybe somebody at some point has pointed this out to you and said, you just need more faith. That's why your prayers aren't being answered. You've got too much sin in your life. That's why your prayers aren't being answered. And before long, in your case, God was just simply reduced to the equivalent of like an instant cash machine, right? Like, and you found yourself scrambling to try and find the correct PIN number to get from God what you needed or what you wanted. And that's all that God became. That's all that prayer became in your life. But then at the same time, you looked around and you started to see there were a whole lot of people that weren't praying anything. And well, they seemed to be doing just fine. I mean, life seemed to just work out for them. And anyway, back to Jesus. Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, Jesus says. Now again, if I were to suggest to you that you can't pray while you're driving to work or walking the dog or maybe sitting on the bus going to school, you might respond like, Chris, who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me that where and where I can't pray? And so I want you to hear these words, not from me, but from actually the lips of Jesus. I want you to hear this from Jesus because he's telling us something that's incredibly important right here, something that I think that we, like his first century followers, might miss. Here's what he said, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door behind you. And you might think like, close the door? Why? Why? I isolate myself. Why can't I do it at church? Why can't I do it while I'm driving in the car? Like, not just before a meal, right? I mean, why is this even necessary? I thought, Chris, we could pray whenever and wherever we wanted, right? And then later on, he tells us why it's so important for you to find a place. Why it's so important for you to find a time and to isolate yourself from everything and everybody else around you. And so back to the question a few minutes ago, where do you pray and when do you pray? Jesus, he says that this is really important, and he'll explain why in just a minute. But first this, and on to the next part. He says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And now this is where I'd like to just step out of the way and just let Jesus come in and really elaborate on what he's talking about here. But he doesn't really need to because his words are super clear for us. I mean, he's telling us exactly what to do. He's saying, pray to God, your Father, who's unseen. Jesus, he's instructing us right here to pray to God, not to him. Not to his mother Mary, not to the saints. No. Jesus, he's instructing us right here to address our prayers directly to God. But he's even more specific. He's saying, instructing us to address to our unseen Father. I want you to pray to your Father who's unseen, our Father in heaven. And again, maybe it was just the way he approached this with his disciples. Maybe it was just this casual, conversational, relational approach that, you know, he's sitting down. He's like, gentlemen, hey, I want to help you out here. Look, I want you to find a place. I want you to find a place where you can get comfortable. And you can have a private conversation with your Heavenly Father. I want you to find a place where you can say the words that you need to say. Where you can say the words that need to be said in whatever tone you need to use. Whatever words you feel like are appropriate. I want you to pray in private so you're not distracted. I want you to pray in private so that you can pour out your heart. And then your Father who sees what's done in secret. And this is amazing. We talked about reward of those people that were praying on the streets. I mean, their reward was attention. But Jesus, he talks about what your reward will be right here. He says, your Heavenly Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. That's that word again, reward. What Jesus is saying, according to him, is that secret prayer is rewarded. Now, remember all the way back at the beginning, the religious people, right? They're praying publicly. I mean, what's their reward? It's that attention. That's all they got. God wasn't answering their prayers. It was just the attention of the people was their reward. So to you, what's your reward? What's our reward? Your reward is this. It's that you're seen by your Heavenly Father. I mean, what if that's true? What if God sees you when you pray? What if you knew with absolute certainty that God saw and that God heard your prayers? What would you pray if you were absolutely confident that God sees you when you're praying and that he actually hears your prayers? What would you pray? And then Jesus, he gives us another thing to stay away from when we're praying. And he moves from the religious leaders to really the Romans and their pagan priests. And he's like, guys, now there's another thing I want you to be aware of. Don't do this. When you're praying, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling on like the pagans do. For they think that because of their many words that they will be heard. Jesus is like, guys, don't just say the same thing over and over and over again, thinking that repetition is going to move God. That length or style or is going to impress God. He's not just looking for the right word, right? I mean, Ben Stiller, he's stumbling, trying to find all the right words in that prayer, right? And maybe you've been there too. You had to maybe pray in front of people before. I can tell you, when I was in college, I was in college going to become a pastor. And so my court Christmas party that I grew up going to my entire life, well, ever since I was in college and I was supposed to be a pastor, well, now, Chris, of course, you've got to be the one to pray at this, right? And I'm looking around, I'm looking at this room of people that I'm like, whoa, you guys are way more qualified to be praying. Like, there's no reason. And so that was me. I'm like stumbling over all my words with people that I've known my entire life. We've all been there before. But God, he's not looking for the right word. He's not looking to be impressed by you. And back to Jesus, he's basically saying this, like, don't be like them, the people who just equate length with merit. And then Jesus says something really interesting. Now what Jesus says next, it actually explains why we don't need to use a lot of words or the correct words. In fact, what Jesus says next, it kind of like, it pulls the rug out from underneath why most of us even pray. And I think he does this on purpose. He's like, the reason you don't need to go on and on and on when you're praying is because your father knows what you need before you even ask him. To which you might say, wait a minute, he already knows? Like, he already knows? Well, if he already knows, I mean, then the next question out of your mouth is this. If he already knows it, then why ask? Or why even pray? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever thought that? I think that's exactly the question that Jesus wanted them to be asking. I think he's got them right where he wants them. I think he's got us right where he wants us. You've probably asked this question before. Well, if God already knows, why would I even pray? And we shouldn't be surprised that God already knows what we need. I mean, if God is God, if God is omniscient, then shouldn't he know, right? If you have to inform God on what's going on or what's needed, I mean, is that really even God that you're praying to? And this brings us to the attention that Jesus really wants to address here. I mean, Jesus in this moment, he's so wise to just stall. He's so wise to begin with, all right, guys, you want to know how to pray? Well, here's how not to do it. Here's how not to pray. Because now we're confronted with the issue that so many of us are wrestling with when it comes to prayer. Because many of us, if we're honest, many of us have just simply reduced prayer to informing God about our needs, to informing God about our wants, our wishes, about the needs, the wants, the wishes of other people, people that we care about, but mostly, honestly, mostly our wants and our needs. But if God already knows, then why inform him? If God already knows, then why even pray? But again, Jesus prayed. And Jesus, he encouraged his followers to pray. So what are we missing here? And I think it's right here at this point in this dialogue that his disciples, they stand back and they realize, like, man, we were right. We weren't doing this right the entire time. And we were doing the absolute wrong thing the entire time, our entire lives that we've been praying. We've been doing this wrong. Maybe that's why you just quit doing it all along. And then fortunately for them, and I think fortunately for us, Jesus, he speaks directly to the tension in this tension that he's created. He's like, all right, guys, all right, you've been asking, all right, this then is how you should pray. I mean, you asked for it, here it is. And Jesus says, our Father in heaven, not dear Jesus, but your heavenly Father, your perfect heavenly Father. And now this raises an important question. Does this mean God is male? Does this mean that God is masculine? Like, what about heavenly mother? What about heavenly being? What about heavenly deity? And you know what? I mean, those are some really valid questions. Absolutely valid questions. In fact, Jesus himself says that God is not a person. Jesus on another occasion said that God is actually spirit. John, who knew Jesus intimately, said, no, God is love. But when we pray, and I really don't want you to get hung up over the terminology, because Jesus, he's telling us something right here it's so important. Jesus, what he's doing is he's inviting us into something that's more intimate than spirit or concept or being or deity or ruler or even judge. What Jesus is doing, he's inviting us into a relationship. This is relational. This is personal. This is intimate. This is a non-formulated thing. In fact, Peter, who's standing right there in the midst of this conversation, he knows Jesus intimately. Later, Peter would write, to cast your cares on him, him being God, to cast your cares on him, knowing that he cares for you. That is intimate. That's personal. It's relational. And Jesus is saying that the best way to approach God is to approach him as a perfect father. And now for some of us, I mean, this is no problem at all. For me, this is no problem at all. I am a father, and I've got an incredible father. And I've had so many incredible father figures in my life. I mean, for me, I see this, I read it, I think, perfect. All right, I got a picture of it. I know exactly what that looks like. But for some of you, that might not be your experience. That might not be an image or terminology that's going to create good feelings in your life. And I completely understand that. And here's some good news. Your heavenly Father does too. Your heavenly Father appreciates that, and he knows that as well. He's willing to enter into that tension with you. And so here's my advice when you pray. Because if Jesus is correct, and I think he is here, to offer any other image or any other concept other than heavenly Father, it may mean that you're missing something. So when you pray, bring that tension with you. And he continues on. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you probably hear that. You've probably heard this maybe 100 times. You read hallowed be your name, and you're like, man, all right, these and thous, right? Immediately, right? That's what you're thinking. These and thous, hallowed be your name. And his point is this. And we just skip right past this. But Jesus' point is this, that when we pray, we should pause. We should acknowledge who we're addressing here. I mean, this is the great God that has no equal, that has no rival, the uncreated creator that, by the way, invites you to address him as Father, that knows you personally. This is infinite and intimate at the same time, that when we pray, Jesus is saying, we should pause right here. Hallowed be your name. Pause. I mean, what an honor it is to address you, Father. To address you directly, to know that I'm known, to know that I'm heard by you, to know that you've considered me in relationship with you. I mean, that's incredible. That's so intimate. That's so personal. And now let's be honest. I mean, the reason why we don't do this is because we don't make the time. Because that is really hard to do in traffic, right? I mean, I can only imagine trying to do that on the street. I mean, that's what you would look like, right? There's too many things going on. You can't pause. You can't think through that. You can't feel that. You can't be so in the moment while you're driving the car. And so Jesus, he's saying to go and close the door and get quiet and get personal and get the distractions out of the way so that you can truly feel it. So that you can give God your undivided attention. I think 2 minutes of your undivided attention is way better than 15 or 20 of your distracted attention every single time. I mean, that's hard to do while you're walking the dog or while you're on the bus with lots of people. And this is why Jesus began the way that he began. He's like, guys, you want to know how to pray? You've got to get alone. You've got to get quiet. You need to create some space to really appreciate what's going on here. You've got to just actually make the space to do it. And here's the bottom line. When we pause to reflect on who God is, we gain a better understanding of who we are and why we're here. We gain a better understanding of the relationship between the Creator and the created. I mean, this is the place where our prayers begin to help regain their balance. This is where we begin to remember the broader context of our lives, our honestly little and insignificant lives that are only made significant because of whose image we bear. And if you just skip over that, if you just skip past hallowed be your name, if you rush past it, you're going to be tempted to skip and to rush past what follows. You'll probably even resist what follows. And what follows is why we actually pray. What follows here is the purpose of prayer. It explains why you need a time. It explains why you need a place, why you need to close the door or go outside and get away from the distractions of your desk or your phone. It explains why you need to take the pressures and the responsibilities and leave them behind and get intimate and personal and undivided. Because when we rush past addressing God by who he is, prayer, it becomes nothing more than just like a good luck charm. Prayer, if we just rush past this, it's just that last glance in the mirror before you leave for school. Prayer, it's nothing more than that, hey, good luck, honey. I know you got a big test or you got that presentation you've been working on for a while now. You know, wish me luck. You've got this. If we don't begin prayer by experiencing some sense of awe, our Father in heaven, great is your name. If we skip by that, then what Jesus says next, it's going to be lost on you. It's why what follows rarely ever shows up in our prayers, to be honest. And it's why our prayers are they're so predictable. Why the outcomes of our prayers, they're pretty predictable. So often they're ineffectual. I mean, dear Heavenly Father, you know, thank you for this day. You know, here's the list of things I need you to help me take care of this week. And, all right, I'm going to move on and I'll probably get back to you tomorrow. I don't know if I can fit you. I mean, we'll see what happens, right? I mean, that's our prayer life so often. But Jesus and his disciples, Jesus, you know, they're like, hey, teach us how to pray. And he says, well, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And they're like, good, got it, okay, cool. All right, what's next? All right, I mean, so you told us not to show off in our prayers, don't repeat the same thing over and over again. You know, God already knows what we need. All right, perfect, we're going to pray to God. I'm not going to pray to you, not going to pray to the saints. Okay, we can do that. We're going to address God as Father. Okay, this is great. Okay, Jesus, is this where we start asking for stuff? Jesus, is this where we kind of like bring our list and say like, hey, I need you to do this, this, and this, and this? Is this it, Jesus? And he's like, nope. This ain't it. No, what's next is this. It's your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus says. Wait. Your kingdom? Your will? What about me? What about my kingdom? What about my will? What about my family, my job, my health, my fears? What about the bills that keep coming? I mean, God, what about me? To which I think Jesus is probably smiling in this moment as he's talking to his disciples. And he's like, guys, remember, he already knows. We've already covered that. He knows what you need before you can even ask. And they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot that part. So I don't need to start with that? And Jesus is like, no. You see, when you pause to think about who you're addressing, when we pause to acknowledge who we're talking to, I mean, what else is there to say other than, all right, God, you first. Your agenda today. Your kingdom come. My kingdom, it can wait. And this is what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, he's up there, he's addressing people. This is one of the longest recorded passages of Jesus teaching in Scripture. He's up there teaching about a bunch of different things, but he talks about prayer and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. His point is the power of prayer. It's the purpose of prayer. It's to align or to realign ourselves with God's will. Or to put it another way, the purpose of prayer, it's to surrender our will and not to impose it. The purpose of prayer is to surrender our will and not impose it. It's Heavenly Father, before I ask anything, I want you to know that, well, I want what you want today. Your will be done, God. Prayer, it's not about moving God. It's about really being moved by God. It's not about convincing God to do your bidding, but getting to the place and allowing him to help us get to the place where we are willing to do his bidding. In fact, this is right where we find Jesus. Right where we find Jesus wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before he was arrested. Maybe you're familiar with this story. Maybe you've heard this story 100 times. Maybe you've never heard it before. We're going to be talking about it here in a few weeks. Easter is just a couple of weeks away. And Jesus, I mean, right here in the middle of this garden, he's praying. He's praying. He's Father, I dread what's coming. I don't want to go through with this. Father, there's nothing about this that I'm looking forward to. And yet, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, not my will, though, Father, but yours be done. And here's something interesting. Do you know what hung in the balance of that prayer? Do you know what hung in the balance of Jesus laying down his will in that moment? Well, you did. And I did. And this whole world hung in the balance here. Jesus, in this moment, he's teaching his disciples how to pray. He's teaching us to pray. He's inviting us to pray the way that he prays, inviting us to live the way that he lives, really submitted to the will of his heavenly Father. And to be blunt, if we pray with any other posture than a posture of a submissive will, I mean, his agenda, God's agenda first, I mean, we're just not doing it right. And listen, you might be thinking, Chris, I mean, you're a pastor, like, you can say that. I mean, you get it. I mean, you're ordained. Like, that's your life. Like, but no. I mean, I'm like you. I get this. I've got my own little kingdom. I've got my will for my life. I have my agenda of my own. And Jesus, he assures us that our Heavenly Father, he knows all about our fragile little kingdoms, our temporary little wills. And so, Jesus says, you don't have to start there. In fact, you shouldn't start there at all. Where you should start is this: Heavenly Father, your agenda, not mine. Your kingdom come on earth. Your kingdom in my life, in my family, on my cul-de-sac, in my community, at my job, in our world. God, your will be done. And here's the thing. This is his point right here. Until we get there, until our wills are surrendered to God's, I mean, what's the point of continuing here? Until our wills, to the best of our knowledge, are surrendered to God's will, I mean, aren't we just users here? I mean, aren't we just consumers? I mean, doesn't it basically just reduce God to like a cosmic vending machine or an app? I mean, consider this. I mean, if you quit praying because God didn't answer your prayer, as legitimate as your prayer was, if you quit praying because God didn't answer your prayer, and then you just maybe gave up on God altogether, what does that say about your view of God? What it says is that you assume that unanswered prayer, it says something about God, but really it says something about your view of him. I mean, if there is a God, then God should answer my prayer, right? And God didn't answer my prayer, my very legitimate prayer. And so clearly God, he doesn't answer prayers, and he doesn't care, and I'm not even sure that there is a God. And you know what? I mean, that's understandable. I mean, if I were in your shoes, if I had your context, your background, if I lived the life that you live, I might be in that exact same place. It's understandable. If God is simply a favor distributor, if God is simply a divine healer just waiting to be summoned, a lifeguard waiting to be called into action, a genie that you rub in Aladdin. But what if Jesus was actually correct here? What if God, your heavenly Father, is so much more than that? What if he's none of that? What if his plan, what if it includes you, but it's way bigger than you? What if it includes you, but it doesn't center on you? What if prayer, it doesn't begin with asking? What if it begins by recognizing and submitting? Recognize and submitting. What if we were to begin by just remembering who God is and who we aren't? And so I just have a suggestion for you. Just a suggestion. Between now and the next time that we'll get together, the next time we'll get together, we'll get on to the give us part. You know, we'll move on in this prayer to the part where you start asking about give us. But that's next time. But before we get there, I want you to just begin trying to pray this way, the Jesus way, the alone, the undistracted, the informal, the short. Just begin by addressing God as Father, to take a moment and reflect on his greatness and his goodness to you, his closeness, the fact that he's infinite and he's intimate at the same time. And then tell him that his deal, his agenda, his will is going to be yours, whatever it is, all day long. In fact, use Jesus' words, your kingdom come, your will be done right now, here, my life, my community. You know, a couple weeks back, one of our friends, our teammates here at Crosspoint, Danielle, she shared a story about how she tries to begin every single day by asking God, God, what's your will for today? Where are you trying to go today? And help me to be a part of it. Whatever it is, help me to come alongside and be a part of it. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what you do. That's how you do it. And then you just got to listen and do what you feel like he's asking you to do. God, your kingdom come. Your will be done right now, right here. I'm happy. I'm happy to participate in it. And honestly, if this is a sticking point for you, if you feel like maybe you're just not quite ready to pray that prayer, if you're not ready to pray the prayer where you have to lay yourself down and pick up his will, That's cool. I get it. If you're not there, if you're working up to that, but you're not there and you're not, maybe not even sure why, let me give you just a little clue as to what I think is probably keeping you from praying this, your will be done. It's usually this, it's fear. It's fear. Fear of losing something. Fear of having to give something up. Fear of having to lose somebody or give somebody up. Maybe it's even fear of just being left out. But you know what? Discovering that's progress. Discovering that, I mean, you've just identified what God wants to work on in your life. And if you can't honestly pray, God, your will be done in my life, then pay attention to that tension, because that is why we pray. And so does prayer work? That's the question. Does prayer work? Well, this kind of prayer, it does work. It does work. It always works on us. And ultimately, it always works for us because it puts us into our place in this world. And so this week, I want you to go ahead and stand. When we pray, pray like Jesus instructed us to pray. To start with your heavenly Father, not you. Start with your heavenly Father, declare his greatness, and then surrender your will. Declare his greatness, surrender your will. And we'll pick it up there with part two of this series, How to Talk to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words of Jesus here. God, this isn't an easy thing for us to do. So help us to grow in that this week. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Give us the courage to follow through and grow in this. It's in your name. Amen. Now, I know in a room, you know, this size with people watching online right now as well, I mean, there are definitely some of you that are not ready to pray that prayer. And I get it. That's a big thing to have to lay down your will. I get that completely. And if you're not ready to begin to pray that prayer, but you want to pray, you want to begin to move towards this infinite and intimate God, you've got burdens for people, for this world, and you want to begin to pray, then we got a song for you. And I want this song to be your starting point this week. If you're not ready to begin to pray that prayer, I want you to begin to pray this prayer with Brad and the band. Let's sing this together.